This week on the Omnic Weekly, patch 1.39 went live and there were some issues. Role queue isn't fully working as intended and people really suck at playing Sigma. What is wrong with the new Brigitte? And we look forward to the near future for Overwatch. Welcome the Omnic Weekly. Welcome everyone, it's Thursday, August 15th, and this is episode 72 of the Omnic Weekly. I am Dee, and I'm joined by Hannah.
Hi!
Hey Hannah. Sadly, no LP this week, but on the other hand, you will not, well, on the other hand, I don't know, some people might like it. You will not have the bass playing sounds on the background this episode.
So oh my goodness. So we had a work meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
And like I was reading through some documentation and asking him questions about it. And then suddenly I hear,
bing, bing,
I'm
bing.
Not playing bass. Bing, 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 bing.
I love the way that he thinks that we can't hear it. Like blank, 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 blank.
And my favorite bit. Halfway through the conversation, I'm sorry, what's in a C minor scale?
Yeah, see, that's something we'll have to miss this week. I know LPP at the end of this episode, but we'll make up for it by some, well, a lot of other bullshit that we'll be throwing at you. Oh, wait, let me do it this way. A lot of other bullshit. There we go. That's better. That's for those people that are not 18 years old yet and they don't want their parents to think that you're listening to one of those rude podcasts because we're good people. We're good folk. That's us. And I feel like we've been doing this yesterday. Like we're doing two episodes in a row because we recorded the last one on Sunday and it's now Thursday and it feels like it was yesterday. But that's what you get with the switching.
Thankfully, we've actually had some news this week, so it's not too much of a problem.
True. It could have been a lot worse. If we had had one of these weeks like we had, let's say last month, oh my God, I would have been crying.
So, did you play any Overwatch this week?
Yeah, so maybe we should do a Fortnite. No. Let's not do that. Minecraft,
did you hear
no.
about how Fortnite and Epic Games really upset everybody?
Oh my God. It's Twitter is exploding with, please remove the Mac, please remove the Mac, please remove the Mac.
Oh, not even the Mac. This is the dog.
What? The dog? I haven't heard about the dog. Tell me about the dog.
Okay, so I'll keep it brief because this is an Overwatch podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
But a few battle pass seasons ago, Epic Games promised that they would never ever repeat loot. So that stuff you earn for that pass is unique to that season. Mm-hmm. And it gives everybody a lot of like pride to collect them and show off.
Yeah, of course.
And then in the most recent pass update, they released, it's called back bling. It's basically like you can wear things on your back. Some of them are like pets.
I know. Yeah, I've played the occasional game of Fortnite, and I have those back bling backpacks. Like I have a dog. If it's that dog, I'm pissed off.
Oh, it may be. So they have the dog, and the only difference between like this dog and the previous dog is that the fur is a shade lighter,
and
he has a pattern on his bandana.
Oh no!
People were so mad that Epic had to refund everybody who had purchased it.
Yeah, I see the dog. I'm looking at it right now. No, it's not the dog I had. Actually, to be honest, I think I have a fox, not a dog. It's a fox. Oh my God. I've just seen like the comparison side by side. It's
like playing Spot the Difference. It's insane.
Exactly. It's like literally a little bit lighter. There's something like there's this emblem on the like you said, on the bandana, and his eyes are a different color. That's it. That's totally, even the backpack is identical. Come on.
I know.
Oh, see, that's what, and the same thing with the Mac. I've been seeing all these streamers, all these big Fortnite players complaining about the Mac. There was this one day that they all put along the same tweet, but apparently Epic is like, we're rich. You can shut the fuck up.
They nerfed them slightly, but they're still in the game. Yeah. People want them removed from like...
Yeah, that's some
competitive, basically.
Yeah, that's of course, we know how that goes. Like, once people get it in their head that something is not good, even if you totally throw it around and, I don't know, put glitter on top and some whipping cream, what's whipping cream? I just invented something new, whipping cream. I don't think
you haven't, actually. That you can get whipping cream in the UK.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds kind of kinky, to be honest. Whipping cream. Oh, yeah. It's just like whipped cream, but okay. It's
but
just another way
of... do it yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. That was a bit of a panic for nothing. But still, people will want it to remove because they're so fixated on the fact that it's not okay. And in the end, they even forget what their issue was with that certain thing. But to be honest, a Mac, like I've seen that Mac, I've not played
it's
for the last few months.
Huge.
But it's huge. Yeah, I would really feel like, I don't know, like it's kind of, I don't know what the exact word is. Oh, I'm thinking about the best comparison.
For like, anyone who hasn't seen it yet, it's taller than 2-story buildings in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. It's like they're trying to compensate or something. I would feel underwhelming myself. Like, I don't know. It would just be, oh my God, this dude is so
much
bigger
than I am.
Could
you imagine if the new mecha pilot came in with something that big?
Oh, please no.
Overwatch.
Please no. Oh, damn it. Nah, let's be honest. That would be a disaster. Like, we're kind of okay with the sizes of our characters right now. Even if they're floating and feel a little bigger than all the rest. Have you played Sigma? We're going to come back to Sigma later, but have you seen Sigma? Have you played him?
I haven't yet, but I did play Moira in a game with Sigma and we both had our Talon skins and it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you play Sigma, your standpoint is way higher. Oh, you crouched, okay.
I crouched and it's in line with a particular area on his anatomy. Like, perfectly in line. I've never uncrouched so fast in my life.
Oh my God. Whipping cream and crouching in front of a Dutchman. Yeah. The crouching Dutchman. I think that would be the title of our podcast today.
The crouching Dutchman. Yeah.
You know, crouching tigers are totally overrated, but crouching Dutchmen, they're... I've been making too many Dutchman jokes, I think, on Twitter and stuff. People are kind of putting weird answers.
Hey, Florida has their thing. Why can't you?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm Belgian. I can poke at the Dutch. It's my national heritage. So, okay. You know what? I'm just babbling now. What do you think we just started this little podcast and get cracking?
Oh, yeah. Probably a good idea.
Yeah, let's get started. It's time to discuss what is hot on the Omnic Post and Omnic Esports. That's those two Instagram accounts, you know. Every week we discuss the topics that have been on the minds of our lovely Instagram followers. If you want to add something to this discussion or you want to share your opinion on the news, you can do that by just sending a DM, tweet us. Well, I would like to ask people to not send us those pigeons anymore. We said last week you could send us a pigeon. Well, we didn't receive a pigeon.
My house was covered in feathers.
Yeah.
not a good idea.
They just didn't make it to our houses. So yeah, there's like a lot of feathers everywhere and it's kind of embarrassing. We've been getting complaints from stuff like, how do they call them, those PETA and stuff like that. So they asked us to stop this. But you can send anything else, like a postcard would be just fine. There could be presents that you can send us as long as they don't make a ticking sound. I hate presents that make like the tick, 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 tick sound. That really makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Or you could just send an email, info@omnicpost.com. We always enjoy hearing your opinions. So do that. But what we want to talk about this week, it has been, like Hannah just said, it has been a week with some news. Not really a lot of news, but there has been a good deal of news. And the biggest part of that news was, of course, that patch 1.39 went live this week on Tuesday. Whee! We saw that little download go, and there we went. Yeah, depending on how fast your internet is, of course. But it was kind of a weird release. This is the first time ever that it felt like a huge clusterfuck, to be honest. Like, wait, what? Oh, what? I had to change two posts because I was posting about what was happening. But then it turned out that they did something wrong. So it didn't work as it usually should have worked. But I didn't get the time to test it. I was just, it's Blizzard. They will do it correctly and I can count on it. But apparently this time around.
Not this time.
No, you said before the podcast that they might have rushed it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, like, they need to be prepared for this, right? If they've been working at this so long.
I know.
It is. Well, see, the stuff that was not working properly. The first thing that stood out, of course, was role queue was introduced. And if you went to competitive play, role queue totally worked as intended. But
I have some words about that, but
okay. No. Go for it. this is the place to do it.
Okay. So I and many other people were under the impression that there would be some kind of reset.
Yeah.
For MMR and SR.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened at all.
Yeah, that's what Mel said last week, that we kind of still have the MMR that sticks around.
Yeah, so, but I need to find the source for this because I was definitely under the impression that there would be a soft reset. And this is the quote that I've seen other people use as well. So I don't know if it's something that Jeff mentioned in a dev update or somewhere.
Yeah, I was
expecting
too.
A reset, you know, like we're going to be splitting your SR into three different things.
Yeah, let's start from zero then. You know, I don't get it. I think that would be the best solution. What's the deal with if you build a new SR system, don't use the data of the old system because it doesn't make sense and gives people that feel of, okay, new chance, new stuff. Okay.
And like, I was very demotivated when I did my support placements the other day.
Oh, yeah, I saw your tweet. Yeah, now that you're saying this, I remember seeing your tweet.
Yeah, yeah. So I got on the board. I got a card on the board every single placement match I did. I consistently pumped out like 6 to 9K heals.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a second healer around, and even on matches that were super quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I won every single placement. And I got 1923.
Yeah.
I've never placed that low in anything, ever.
Yeah. Ever. I'm so worried. I'm going to do it on stream this Saturday. That better not be the case for me because I'm going to flip tables.
The last competitive match I played, I'd fallen because I got like a couple of like matches with loads of levers.
Yeah.
So my SR just slid down. So it feels like it's just a continuation of that.
Yeah. Oh, that would suck. That would really suck. Okay, maybe it's just for the beta season that they're they need data and they kind of were, okay, like we need to base it off something.
And XQC, remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Everyone remember him?
Yeah.
He made a post. He got like into Grandmaster for support and he's a tank player. And he was like, there is no way I'm that good at healing. I suck. My team is at a disadvantage if I am placed this high. Sort out your SR.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. If that's the case, we might not even get role queue at the end of this beta. If it's all being so topsy turvy, like if nothing is working as intended, then oh crap. Okay. Well, I'll be able to confirm if what happened, or you can just join me on stream, Hannah, and we can watch it together. But I'm curious to see what is going to happen Saturday. Okay. That's it. To be honest, I saw your tweet and I saw a lot of other people tweeting about it, but kind of slipped my mind. But you're not the only one that has had these issues. Mm-hmm. I've seen other people complaining about this. So yeah, and I heard about XQC complaining about the SR, but let's be honest, if the title of any article says XQC is complaining, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, I've been watching a lot of his streams and I enjoy watching his streams, but sometimes he does these really weird things. You know my opinion on him, like...
Yeah.
And now that he no longer is actually in the Overwatch League itself, he can do whatever he wants. Like, he's still on Team Canada, but, yeah, that's a problem for in a few weeks. Okay, let's just say that role queue and competitive kind of worked, because I also heard some people, aside from your problem, complaining about games kind of ending up with only five players in a team and stuff like that. So the queuing was not going as intended, but that might have just been the first half an hour. But then,
I didn't play it until the day after, mm-hmm. and my first match had 5 people in it.
Okay, so it was still an issue later, yeah. So
we still won, and yet my SR was still super low.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just going to say, like, okay, role queue on competitive kind of work, but let's be honest, it was a bit of a clusterfuck by itself. But then it even got worse, because if you were playing quick play, and I wasn't playing myself, but I could see Fusion was streaming with his sister, and I could see it on their screen, and I tested it myself to make sure what the issue was, because I had just posted that role queue was live, and I needed to verify. I was so pissed off. But anyways, it turned out that a quick play did not have role queue, but role lock. And there's nothing more disgusting. I don't know. I don't like using that word. There was nothing more frustrating than having role lock in a freaking quick play. But that just, like, I could see it happen. Like, everybody that loads in last is kind of screwed and has to pick whatever's left. So let me quickly explain for the people that don't know what the difference is. Role queue is basically the game telling you before the match starts, pick a role, and then you queue up, and they'll put you in those two into two groups, and then you pick your character, and all the other characters will not be available. So if you picked support, none of the tanks or DPS will be available. Makes sense. But role lock is something different. So you just load in into the normal character selection screen. But behind the scene, like the game is deciding, okay, we can only have 2 in each role. So as soon as someone picks, for instance, as if 2 DPS are picked, the whole DPS category of heroes is locked out. Basically, like you have now with, if you pick McCree, there's no one else that can pick McCree. But that's, of course, the reason why they did role queue was to kind of stop the issue of people going into 4 DPS groups. And this made it just really frustrating, because everybody that loaded in quickly that had their game on an SSD or that had a really big fast connection was picking Hanzo and Widowmaker, and then the rest of the group was like, okay,
but I'm just gonna leave because I don't get to be DPS.
Yeah, they leave or they have to play tank while they have never played tank. Like, people that, if the supports, usually supports are the second category to kind of fill up. But if you don't like playing tanks, you're kind of stuck in playing tanks, which you, even if you're not an asshole and you're like, okay, I'll just stick around and help out my team, you will suck. You will not do as good as you wanted to do for that team. And could you imagine, I have not had that myself, but could you imagine you have to backfill and there's only one role available?
That's
just like that. You don't even get the chance to pick any of the other roles.
I mean, it's backfilling is frustrating enough anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you come in and you know you're only there because someone else quit because they didn't want to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a good start. No.
And you're just like, ugh. But could you add, I'm imagining just adding the frustration of, you know, like me having waited like 3 minutes to get into a match and then coming into a match with like the point is close to, the payload is close to the point music.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You go, oh. Have to pick a role you don't want to play. Oh.
Exactly. That's just painful. I wanted to just add, you know, those people that get backfill at the end of that game, like when they hear that game music play, as soon as that game is over, they just type in chat, oh, I just walked into a losing game. Like, yeah, it's okay, man. It's not your fault. You know, we saw, no need to explain it.
Guys,
it's kind of funny.
We're all aware.
Yeah, totally.
We are the ones losing. Thanks.
Those are funny guys. Nah, but so, and I was like, this cannot be intentional. This cannot be the thing. Like, I did not do quick play on PTR because I was like, okay, it's going to be the same as, but I verified afterwards. And on PTR, the quick play role queue was exactly the same as it was on competitive. So I was
That's
like,
even
why
worse.
Did. Well, no, that's what you want, basically, right?
No, I mean, it's even worse that it was how we wanted it on the PTR.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
then it
exactly.
was different on live.
Yeah, but that's fixed now. Wait, so that was kind of mind-blowing, and I was like, oh, what did they do? Did they decide in the last minute to kind of switch things over? I made a new post, and people started sending me messages like, is this intentional? Will this be the end result?
I'm like, sorry, guys. I thought you typoed, and I was so confused.
No, I wish. That's the first time I wish that I made a typo. Usually it's the other way around. But then there was a tweet explaining that there was a bug with the roll queue for quick play. But they didn't say what the bug was. They didn't say, is it going to go in the direction of, oh, we shouldn't have gotten roll lock at all. We just should have had the old system. Or, oh, for some reason, the screen to select your roll is not appearing. And I was hoping it was the latter one, so that it was going to be roll queue like we wanted it in quick play. Nope, it went the other way. Like afterwards they did a quick fix or a hot fix. And now the whole locking should be gone. I have not been able to test it myself, but it's just the old system basically.
It's the fastest way to fix it for people, really. It's just had before. That means they don't know where the problem is.
I don't know. Or maybe they didn't have the intention of doing it, and they want to just have the beta on competitive, and after the beta, I'll just roll out for everybody. But that was just such a clusterfuck. I had to kind of hustle and pull back posts and make new posts and then answer a shit ton of messages of people that were even more confused than I was. And I couldn't give them the clear answers because I didn't know either.
You spent the evening doing customer support for Blizzard.
I did. Yeah. Yeah, that sometimes happens when I post something. People some people still think that I work for Blizzard, and they just like,
do you need to fix? How good you are.
Thank you. And I appreciate that immensely. And I appreciate it immensely. But if they make a mistake, I usually get blamed for that mistake. So I get like, dude, fix this fucking hero. Like, sorry, man, I don't work for them. I just report on what they do. but that's funny. And usually people are like, oh, sorry, I'm so dumb. It's okay. You're not the first.
Aww. Yeah.
There's two things. There's this one and the fact that I tell them to send me an email and they're like, your website is down. No, that's an email. Come on. I'm not that old. And then they say, oh, damn, I'm so dumb. No, man, it's okay. You're not the first to make that mistake. And I've changed my messages, like email it to, not send it to, no, email to. And still people are like, I had this message yesterday of a guy. I'm really sorry if you're listening, man. I don't want to put your stuff here on the table, but I'm not going to tell the.
We're not
going to
name you, so you can just sit there and feel quietly embarrassed.
Yeah, but so he sends me an email. He sends me a message. Can I send you something? Yeah, email it to me. info@omnicpost.com. Your website is down. Yeah, I know, but that thing I sent you, that info@omnicpost.com, that's an email. Yeah, it's still not working, man. Your website is down. Come on. Dude, just not listening.
Was it spicy ramen? Because he's expecting a reply from you at the moment.
Yeah, I saw his Discord message, but I haven't seen it. I should check. I've gotten so many emails today, but like every time we do a post about the boop of the week or stuff like that, people just send everything, including their kids, which is sometimes really awkward. I don't know how to bring up kids. Don't send me your kids. No, I haven't. I don't think I got a message from him. I need to check. Probably he sent it to the wrong place.
He doesn't advertise this, but D is a cat dad, so he doesn't know what children are.
Exactly. What are cats? Okay. okay, damn. Now I closed my show notes. That's not good. Here we go.
Bye, show notes. Bye.
No, I found him. People were kind of confused and... But in the end, it all turned out okay. We'll just have to wait. I'm kind of disappointed that it's not added to quick play right now because I keep, I don't know. I kind of wanted to wait till the beta season is over or kind of do it for reals because I don't have that much time to play. But I like doing a quick game of quick play without all the stress or is my SR going to drop like a fucker?
Trust me, no one is taking. At least on PS4, I feel like very few people are taking comp seriously.
Yeah, well, and there's this other issue with comp that maybe we just should move on to that one. So roll queue was kind of weird, but then people started to notice. And the weird thing was, like, people kind of sent me messages telling me that the first 2 to 3 games that they were playing, Sigma was not available. But at a certain point, like, I don't know, like, let's say a half an hour after the release or an hour after the release, this starts seeing Sigma being pickable in comp. And then people were asking Blizzard, like, I think you accidentally activated Sigma in competitive. And they were, no, that's just part of the beta season. But why wasn't it at first? And now it is. And I don't think it's a good idea to put, even for a beta season, to put that new hero in. I have not gotten one game without Sigma.
Oh, this is how every single one of my competitive matches went. All 7 of them that I've played so far. Tank picks Sigma. Game goes badly.
Yeah.
Get 3/4 of the way through a match. Switch to other tank.
Too late. Yeah. That's what Spanky Hunter said on Twitter. He said the same thing. He replied to one of my tweets and he said, yeah, but it's the same case for me. I tweeted like, I've seen a crazy Dutchman in every of my groups. Please stop it. and then he replied, yeah, same for me. And people just pick him, like you just said, about just before the game is going to end, they all switch, but it's way too late by then. Or some people are too stubborn.
Do you know what else I find really, like, I've never thought about this before, but I don't like having him in competitive, not because we might lose, but because I'm not used to hearing any of his voice lines yet.
No, it's
and I don't want to be thrown off in like a competitive situation by new sounds and new callouts and.
No, that's a good point actually because
things
I had,
I've never heard before.
Like in the games that I played, the quick play games, I kind of like he has his Dutch version, he has the English version. The Dutch version is what the enemy team you hear from the enemy team, and the English version is what you hear if it's friendly. But in my case. Like, if it's French, I can understand, but I realize it's French. So it's, or if it's Swedish, I don't understand. And I know it's the other Brigitte that's going crazy. But when he talks Dutch, I take it in so quickly that I don't make that distinction. Like, okay, it's the one I can understand. So basically, it's the enemy team. No, I'm like, okay, I could understand this. But wait, he speaks Dutch. So it, like that first moment, that almost instinctive moment that you need, like that one that you kind of need to have that quick decision on, for me is kind of fucked because he speaks Dutch.
Well, that's what you get for, you know, being all smart and stuff.
For being all smart and stuff?
Yeah.
Is that...
I'm just jealous because I'm bad at languages.
Okay. But it's my native language. Like
I do not have... Yeah, I know, but you speak English so well. But it's the same for both.
Oh yeah, yeah, like that about the same level. Yeah, no, okay, yeah,
that's what I meant.
Okay, and thank you for the compliment, by the way.
You're welcome. Smart and stuff. Put that in your Twitter bio.
Smart and stuff. Yeah, that will make that will be the impression I want to give to people. Like he's smart and stuff. I don't know. I don't know why they did it. I don't feel like it adds anything. The fact that he's already in there, even if it is the beta season, the reason they never add a hero at the first moment in any competitive mode is because they want to give people a chance to kind of get used to
and
him.
And no offense, but if comp had roll lock for a bit, you can see people were going to competitive to try him.
Yeah.
Because you're more likely to guarantee, you have to wait 5 minutes, but you can nearly guarantee getting him.
Yeah, exactly. That's true too. Yeah, and people are really bad at him. It's crazy. People
so bad.
I've never seen a hero. Well, Doomfist. You kind of always compare it to Doomfist, but I've seen this one guy. No, I'm not kidding. Like he was struggling with that shield. It was almost entertaining to watch him struggle with that shield. He was just calling it and he was like, oh, this just disappeared again. Oh, it just disappeared again. Stop clicking. Just click once, release. And then it is. And stop clicking, man. Stop clicking.
I have this image of 11 other heroes as both the enemy and friendly team all gather around this guy.
Well, the enemy Sigma was probably doing the same thing because every team had a Sigma, even the other team. But no, I was watching him and I was almost at the point I wanted to record it and kind of post it, but that would have been rude. And I've seen people struggle. Like I've had one guy that was always way in the back. Sometimes divas will do the same thing. Like And then I think it's just someone that is not used to playing D.Va, and D.Va has to just kind of, she has her own strategy and
she has a completely different flow, I feel, to most other heroes.
Yeah, she does. And sometimes falling back is part of it. But standing in the back the whole time, then you're not being a good tank. Then you're basically
the cowardly D.Vas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. Those are the DPS with a lot of health, basically. That's what they are. And they do the same thing with Sigma. They just stand there in the back, and every time someone shoots at them, they deploy the shield. But the team has no gain. Like, they don't defend the team. They're not taking, soaking any damage.
Yeah.
They're just like, you're not Zenyatta, man. You're not Zenyatta. Just step forward, use your shield wisely, protect your team, and move.
I did have one Sigma who was really good, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is the potential of Sigma. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
if he was deploying his shields at like really fancy angles to like the best way to deflect damage, basically. And I was like, that's so cool. I'm just gonna stand here and appreciate that for a second.
So basically everybody's watching Sigma as he fails, and everybody's watching Sigma.
Because we've not seen him in quick play yet, so we're gonna have to stop and watch in comp.
Yeah. Nah. It's If he's going to be, the people that will master him will be really, 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 really good and will be a force to be reckoned with. The same with Doomfist, basically. If you have a Doomfist in your team or the opposing team that knows what he's doing, which is so rare, I think in the whole time that Doomfist has been out, which is now 2 years, I've only seen like a handful of people that are really good at him.
I know one person who is really good at Doomfist.
Yeah, well, they destroy. Those are the people you need to be scared of. And I'm going to be the same him with good old Sigma. But for now, I'm going to be happy that we're past that whole, I want to try him phase that everybody got out of their system.
Yeah. And I can't wait for people to go, we can't play him, I give up.
So Sigma is live. Sigma is in the game. People just need to stop playing him. If they're not good at him, you'll not get any better. It's just you need a particular set of skills to be able to play Sigma. I made that decision that I will not be playing Sigma after a few games. I was like, no, this is not the hero I'll be good at. This is not the hero where I can help out my team with. Yeah. I'm done. And I guess everybody needs those few games to get it out of their system.
So, in comparison, when I first played Brig, I knew pretty quickly that I wasn't clicking with her.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hoped I would because I loved her concept, but I didn't click with her very quickly. Whereas with Baptiste, I was on fire for most of the game in my second match.
Yeah, Baptiste is...
And Moggy's even better at Baptiste than I am, which is... went through a stage of just playing comp, and she'd only played him for a few matches before she was playing him in comp and just... She was out healing me, dude.
Nice.
Well, she was out healing me.
You can divide people by the characters that they're good at. Like,
yeah.
Are you a good D.Va player? Are you a good Mercy player?
I hope so.
I think that says something about that person, the characters that they're good with. This needs to be a test that they do.
Like a personality test.
Exactly. It's way more useful than all those color schemes or all those, I don't know, I've seen all these different systems. No, just have them play a few games of Overwatch and decide which character they like the most. And if they play Mei, you just put them in an insane asylum and just throw away the key. You're like, Mei players, nope, you're a sociopath, go away. D.Vas and Mercies and all those characters. People that play Lucio are kind of wacky. Then you have the Moira players. Those are just evil bastards like myself. I'm a combination of Lucio and Moira, so I don't know how to explain that. And I have a bit of Reinhardt too, so...
I've got Mercy and Moira from the support and Baptiste now as well.
Oh, see, I'm really curious.
And then D.Va.
We should just do that. Maybe put up like a question towards all our listeners, like wherever you are listening, or just find us on Twitter, on Instagram, and let us know what your heroes are and what you think what that tells us about you. Like if what your main character is and how you kind of feel that reflects your personality, that would be really interesting to see.
Yeah, like I care about people, but damn, do I have a dark sense of humor.
Exactly. But those are the traits that kind of define which character. One day we'll be able to kind of make which hero is best for you episode or something, and just have this all these things defined, and oh, you like this and this, well, this will be your hero, and we'll be spot on. We'll be able to tell people which hero they need to play,
and just the sass of Baptiste and Mercy.
That's Baptiste. For sure. I don't know what it tells us when you play a lot of Anna. That's a difficult one.
You're quite chill. Yeah. You know, you're used to doing... I would say that playing Anna, I feel like, is a lot of hard work without much thanks sometimes.
Yeah, that's it. Those are the hardworking people in the background that...
Yeah.
That kind of are vulnerable too, because let's be honest, if you want to kill an Anna, you just look at her and... Well, in most cases, she'll put you to sleep once, but after that, she's toast.
But they do have a sting in their tail.
Oh, they do. Yeah. But she needs support from her team, and that does not always happen. That's always sad to see happen.
I know. Like,
I try to take care of my supports if I'm playing tank. I try to.
Me too.
Yeah. But yeah, let us know what your heroes are, what you think that tells us about you. We're not going to make the analysis. We're not getting, we don't have a degree in psychology.
No, you can do your own analysis, but it'll be interesting to see.
Exactly. So yeah, with him going live, with Rollcue going live, there were some other things in that patch. One big one. Well, let me kind of zoom in on a small one that I really enjoy, is the fact that now you can endorse people in arcade modes, which I kind of like.
It's lovely.
Yeah, because I enjoy my mystery heroes. And sometimes I just feel like if I'm playing mystery heroes, I'm not getting... It's not like these endorsements kind of matter that much, but hey, it can be a difference between 2 or 3 loot boxes full of crap. So
yeah, really well, thank you.
Exactly. That's it. You just, it's not about getting that approval. It's like, just if there's someone really good in there, the end of game cards kind of lost their shine in that matter. In that sense, the best way to kind of tell somebody that you appreciated what they did is to endorse them. And I think it's a good thing.
Like, especially on console, I feel like, because we don't have a chat box.
Oh, yeah, true.
So yeah, I can't just say, that was really good, thanks so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
I have to quit Overwatch, go into the PlayStation menu, find recently played with players, and hope that they have their inbox open if I want to message them.
Jesus.
Which is just too much hassle.
That is. So yeah, that's beautiful that now people can be friendly to each other, even if they're playing arcade. But that's just a small thing.
And it will be there for Junkenstein as well, so...
Oh.
For Halloween. Yeah, they've applied it to PvE as well.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, but I thought that you meant that it would be specific to something because you like showing your appreciation specifically during Junkenstein.
Well, PvE is great because you've only got 3 people on your team, so you can just endorse them all.
that's actually... Can you basically endorse everybody? That would be interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, we need to try that when that event comes around. But let's not go that far. We still have a few weeks of summer. We still have a lot of plenty of other fun stuff to do before that. Okay?
Autumn is coming. Say goodbye to your sunshine.
Autumn, it feels like autumn is here right now, but I heard it's going to clear up this week and it's going to be better. So I'm so looking forward to my vacation. Anyways, the one thing that they also did was, of course, all of these balancing changes. There were some balancing changes, and we kind of talked about those in a previous episode, but some of these were just like general balancing stuff. But
yeah,
there are a few specifically done because of the whole new 2-2-2 system. So one that I'm just going to pull out a few that I think are kind of interesting. The of course, the big one is one that is... applicable to all heroes. The global ultimate cost is increased by 12%. And the developer comment is kind of interesting. What were you going to say? Sorry,
I forgot that they did that, and I was like, am I playing that badly? No, why don't I have my ult yet?
12% is a lot. 12% is a lot. Yeah, that will take you at least a few seconds longer to kind of get it done. And the developer comment around this is, considering how high impact, oh my God, I can't talk. Considering how high impact they are, ultimates are coming up too often. We are reducing how quickly they charge, so fewer fights will be determined by the ultimate usage, which makes sense because I sometimes feel, especially in modes like Mystery Heroes, that people kind of stay out of the action just to get their ultimate. And to because they think that will make a difference. But if you don't sync up and if you don't work together, if you don't push hard enough, your ultimate is just going to waste, basically. But anyways, but I feel like a lot of people kind of count on their ultimates to make that big difference, which it does sometimes. But yeah, if it loads slower.
Yeah, like, for example, a Sneaky McCree.
Exactly. Yeah, and those can be, oh my God. Since that buff a few patches ago, they are a force. They are scary.
Or a Valkyrie, just as you're trying to catch the point.
Yeah, exactly. Something else is the slowing effects. So instead of stacking together, all the slowing effects are now separate, and the one that is slowing you the most will kind of count, and all the others are not. No longer. Yeah, that's a good one. And while we're talking about slowing and stuff, which I think is a really interesting one, is Reinhardt got a new passive ability called Steadfast. Yeah.
Congratulations, Reinhardt.
I am so happy with this one because I'm kind of fed up when I play a lot of Reinhardt lately, and I'm so fed up by, I'm a huge German guy in an armor that looks like it weighs a few hundred kilos. I have this huge-ass hammer. I have a shield, and still people are booping me from left to right like I'm a freaking volleyball. Like, this does not make sense. Stop it. I just want to be steadfast, hold my shield, and make sure that my team is safe and kind of done with all that booping.
Have no fear. Reinhardt now has steadfast.
Exactly. What it does is reduces knockback effects by 30%. In the developer comment, as a frontline melee range tank, Reinhardt was more adversely affected by knockback abilities than most heroes, which is true. Not only that, like Mei could, if you kept up your shield while Mei was freezing you, you were done. Like your shield, holding up your shield would slow you down, and Mei would be freezing you. Like, nope, not going anywhere. No, I'm gone. Bye. To reduce some of this frustration and enable Reinhardt to more easily fulfill his role, he's now more resistant to being knocked back, with, which I think is a good thing. I still need to check it out if it really is enough.
I can see. I feel like this should have been in the game ages ago.
Yeah, totally. It should have been in there from the start. Like, he's so big. Like,
yeah, reading his patch notes, you're like, well, duh. Yeah, obviously. Exactly.
Is there any, like, we're going to talk about Brigitte in a moment, because that's a big one. And there is some controversy around, well, controversy is a big word. There's some, people are kind of divided on.
There's always controversy with Brigitte. Yeah.
But is there any others that you kind of, you want to highlight? Like the D.Va one or something that you feel like that's interesting?
Well, now I have no choice but to talk about D.Va. I've been driven down that road. It's easier for baby D.Va to get back in her mech. Yay! Yeah,
she'll get in there 12% faster, which is interesting. So they're going to slow down the others by 12%. Okay. So that the developer comment says, this change is just meant to counteract the global increase in ultimate cost. So basically, the fact that they slowed down every of the other ults, that included her baby D.Va's ult, but this effect kind of negates all that and makes sure that you just, you'll get your mag back at the same rate as before.
Because she's very squishy out of him.
She's
it's like a second life, which feels a bit cheaty sometimes, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other one I want to highlight is the fact that Hanzo now has one less storm arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I don't know if that that makes a lot. One that I really enjoy, that I think is interesting and that it was really needed, was Orisa.
Oh, her shield.
Yeah, she, her cooldown or her shield is increased with one second from 8 to 9. And I think that's good because I had the feeling like I would be focusing Orisa's shield to get it down.
And then she puts it back up again straight
exactly, away. Exactly, straight away. There was like no downtime on that shield. If you have your full team cooperating and all damaging that shield, it will go down in 2 seconds. But let's be honest, that almost never happens. Everybody's all over the place. So there's a few others like Tracer, Symmetra, but check them out. We linked the patch notes on the
Instagram. Sim's got a lot of changes, but they don't add up to much.
No, it's basically she'll be able to go to that teleporter a lot quicker. There's a lot of cooldowns that are lowered on that.
You may notice Sombra is less annoying. She's had two nerfs.
Yeah. Which is good. But check those out. The patch notes are linked in the stories at Omnic Post.
We should one probably that link to them when we...
I'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah.
Let me go over one that I wanted to kind of pull out, and that's the Brigitte one. So let's run over them. It's a huge list. And the general idea, let me start out maybe with the developer comment, because that always kind of clarifies. The goal of these changes is to make Brigitte more of a primary healer for your team at the cost of weakening her survivability. Since Brigitte will now be only one of two support heroes of your team, it's important that she can provide enough healing to be valuable in that role, which makes a lot of sense. If you only have two healers, Brigitte, and that's kind of interesting that Jeff said that. He actually said that in a developer date, but she was always the third healer, which is like, she didn't heal the third. She was the third. So 1, 2, 3 healer. I don't know.
Third.
Sometimes she would heal the third, but that kind of dependent on who the third was. But let me quickly go over the changes. So Inspire, her passive, the healing amount was increased from 100 to 130. Self-healing from Inspired is now halved, which is interesting. The repair packs had 3 charges. The healing amount changed from 50 to 120. But yeah, she had 3, but every health pack would heal for a little less.
Yeah, so she can go boom, 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 like straight away.
Exactly, but the healing would happen over 2 seconds instead of instantly.
Yeah.
If you throw multiple packets, the same person, the duration will be extended by 2 seconds. Now, Whipshot, the outgoing velocity increased from 60 to 80, retracting time reduced from 0.6 to 0.3. That's kind of...
Boop buff.
Yeah, that's a boop buff, basically. Now, the one that there's a lot of discussion about is the barrier shield. The barrier shield health was reduced from 500 to 200. That's a huge difference. Less than half of what it was. So that's big. And remember that. That's something that a lot of people complain about. And then shield bash, the stun duration reduced from 0.9 to 0.75, which, okay. And the ultimate cost was increased by 10%. And I think that ultimate cost increase is on top of the 12% that other heroes already got. So in the end, it's 22%. Now, a lot of people feel like clearly Blizzard wants to make her, like they said themselves, they want to make her a healer. And there are people that are really happy with that. That kind of think that she's, they kind of like that playstyle, that throwing of these repair packs. Yeah. All that jazz, and kind of feel more comfortable healing with her now. But there are people that kind of feel, and I kind of understand that she's not viable anymore because she's not per se an exceptional healer. There's still healers that will be better at it. But she's missing that edge that she had before, like the shield, especially the shield, which could have been used, like if Reinhardt his shield went down or Orisa's shield went down, you could jump in and kind of have that 2 second frame where you kind of were able to at least protect yourself
to help negate some damage.
Exactly, and that's gone. Like the shield is so flimsy now that you blow through it in an instant. So they feel like she's missing that thing, like that one extra thing that Anana has her sleep dart, she has her she can do some serious damage. Same for Zenyatta. Zenyatta, his heal through put through without the, just in the game itself is not that spectacular. He doesn't heal that much, but once he uses his ult, it's like bam! You see him going up those charts like and a madman.
That Discord.
Ooh. And that Discord, exactly. That Discord and his damage that he can make. He can do some serious damage if he's played well. And every healer, like Mercy has a res. Everybody has that one thing that makes him special. And they feel like Brigitte is kind of underwhelming on that aspect, which I can understand. I don't know how you feel about it.
300 would be enough?
I don't know. I think this is one of those cases where just tuning the numbers will not do it, and that they need to kind of rethink her kit and see if they can.
Need to give her a different or extra ability.
Yeah, I think if they're going to make her shield strong again, it might tilt her in the other direction again. Well, the huge problem before was, of course, that stun. I don't know. I think they might have to kind of look into what they did to Mercy in a way, what they did to Sumatra.
Yeah, I mean,
in a way.
She was designed to be a hybrid, and hybrid is kind of out the window now. We've got Rollock.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, that they'll probably try to tune her, and they'll have several iterations of tuning her, and then they'll kind of decide, well, she needs a big rework, and we'll get a different Brigitte. But that's what I think. That's what we've seen happening, right? Every time, over and over again, we discuss all these small things that they do, and nobody seems happy with the end result. And then they just decide to kind of go in a totally different direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked well for Sim and Hanzo and Torb, so I trust them.
Exactly, exactly.
I just hope they do it sooner rather than later, so we're not just left with a limping Brigitte.
I sometimes wonder, like, we for us it's easy. We're just watching it from the outside, and for us it's just easy to say maybe we should redo it. But I think internally there's different things going on.
Yeah,
they see different numbers.
They probably, if they're going to rework her, I suspect they're already coming up with ideas, and these balancing changes are like a stopgap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of. Try and get a feel of what the issue is.
Yeah,
no, that makes sense. We know for sure that there will be more balancing changes coming in for all the heroes. I think there's still a lot of heroes out there that still need to be tuned according to this new meta and just in general. I know that, for instance, the thing that a lot of people have been talking about is that the next hero that would get a big rework would be Roadhog, which makes sense. Like, I enjoy Roadhog immensely. He's one of my favorite heroes.
Hog needs some TLC. He was the second tank I ever played.
Yeah, I love him as a character.
I do like him, yeah.
But I think there's a lot of more heroes. Like, there's the game just keeps evolving. People keep getting better at the game. People find new tactics, and the game kind of has to evolve with that. But it's clear that we're in a weird phase when it comes to Overwatch, and probably in a few months we'll know for sure what is going on.
I think the problem with Roadhog is I tend to see him be picked, and I'm guilty of this too, before, like, if you weren't getting enough heals because you only had one healer on your team, I'll be Roadhog then as a tank. Because then I can keep myself alive, and then you can focus on the rest of the team.
Yeah, no, that's something that I've done myself too. Like, if I feel I'm not getting enough healing, and there's one healer, and everybody kind of refuses to pick a different healer, and I'm the only tank, I'll switch to Roadhog.
Yeah, and I feel like having a hero based around other heroes not being played correctly, and that being his shtick.
Yeah, that's not a good, cool. Not cool. And especially now, since you'll always have two supports, so you know for sure that you'll get the healing that should get the healing. Yeah. Just tell people. I've been playing with I was in a group last week where the Ana, I was playing Moira, and the Ana was healing, like, I don't know what she was actually doing. She was standing way in the back where the team was not even there.
DPS Lucio.
Yeah, I've seen those two. Those are rare, but I think this was a DPS Ana, but she was not. She was playing all by herself. She was always off. Like, I don't know, not even, you couldn't even tell. sometimes you have an Ana that picks a really good position to snipe the team and snipe heal the team, which is perfect.
And but you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, first grandma. Instance,
like, where's that senile old woman going again? Oh, wait. Oh, I'm getting heals. This is awesome. But this one was just, I don't know what she was planning. I think she might have been confused and thought she was Widowmaker. I don't know. It was really strange. She was sneakily DPSing. Well, I've had, of course, Moiras are kind of
I wonder if people are doing it for the loot.
Oh, yeah, because they want that loot box. That's a good point. Yeah, that will be a thing for sure. There will be people that kind of... I've noticed, by the way, that you only get loot boxes the first three times, and after that... I only got one. Oh, no, I think I got three loot boxes, and after that I went to currency.
No, I only got one loot box before it switched to currency.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I had three. I need to verify that for myself too. They're switching around with all that, or maybe it kind of depends on how much the demand is or how big the demand is at that point.
It was 5 minutes if you were queuing as tank, and then 2 minutes as support. But I didn't have to wait 2 minutes. I was constantly in a game. Like,
okay, yeah. Well, we'll need to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, have your 25 gold. Thanks.
Yeah, that's like, oh, Jesus. And even with the loot boxes, to be honest, I've been so disappointed in loot boxes these last few months. There's literally nothing dropping. I know that I still need a good deal of skins on some of these characters, but they're just not dropping. They need
like,
to kind of...
There's still skins from the 2018 like loot drop, January loot drop that they did that I just don't have.
Exactly. Same here. And I think they just need to, at a certain point, need to kind of make sure that these loot boxes, if you almost have everything, they kind of need to tweak those random numbers that you at least get something every few loot boxes, because this is just getting ridiculous. Doubles. Sprays.
Between my endorsement boxes leveling up and my competitive box, I opened like 8 loot boxes the other day, and I got one purple, and the rest were just whites and blues for Sigma. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. See,
not even a purple for Sigma, by the way.
Yeah, that's the thing, of course. Now we'll get a good deal of Sigma loot, but that will stop eventually too.
Yeah, it was one of Junkrat's OG emotes that I still didn't have. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, an emote, come on. The whole events have been tuned down. There's less skins in there. They keep using the old events, which we get because they're kind of focused elsewhere. But with the loot boxes not giving what you want, like, I have not spoken to one single person that told me I got all the event skins, for instance. People are just not getting anything out of these loot boxes. So that brings down the value of these events even more, because you're there, not because the skins are in the game, but because you want those skins, you want to have them, not watch them as anybody else is playing them or having them. No, you want to earn them or kind of get them.
It would be nice if that free loot box that they gave you at the start of every event was a legendary loot box.
Even if it's just one.
It would be nice.
It would already be a step up. It kind of would guarantee you that we'd at least get one legendary out of the whole thing.
So you get one new skin guaranteed.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And
I feel like loot boxes are such a non-thing now.
They've slowly become... And the way to solve it is maybe to change... Well, they need to change those numbers, but also add more stuff. They did it, like you said, in 2018. They added a lot of stuff in there. And they said, we're going to keep doing this. Nope, not happened since. And we're closing on 2020, so.
Yeah.
But again,
I think it could be nice. It could be like a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
Like the Christmas event ends, and then to celebrate the new year with you guys playing Overwatch, here's some skins.
Yeah. We need more cosmetics. I was kind of fumbling with that. But yeah, like we said before, we might get some news at BlizzCon that will tell us why they are kind of doing all this and why they are kind of giving us the bare minimum. But Talking about
that. Do you think they tweaked the loot to make it last longer while they're not giving out as many skins?
No, I think they just didn't. I think as the game gets older and people get more stuff,
yeah,
there's less of a pool where you can, like, there's less stuff that you don't have, and the numbers that they are using have not been tweaked towards this. So by not adjusting those numbers, statistics kind of slow everything
but
down.
But surely I think your chance of getting a legendary is still the same.
Well, I don't know how these numbers exactly work, but I think, see, the thing is, I don't know if we get less legendaries, we just get less stuff in general that we enjoy or that we don't have yet. So that kind of stands out a little more than it did before.
Yeah, because there are still loads of legendary skins that I don't have across everyone. Yeah.
But I think, like, the drop rate on those legendaries has not changed. I think they shared it once what the actual number is, and I think that's still there. But the feeling that we have is because we only see coins. We only see doubles.
It just exacerbates it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That was a fancy word.
You're welcome.
That kind of raised the level of this podcast with a few levels. That was interesting. That kind of, it's starting to get frustrating. And they need to kind of change those numbers or they need to add more stuff. That's statistics, basically. But yeah, I think their effort is kind of elsewhere right now. What I wanted to say is, while we're looking forward, what do you think that we still have in store? The thing that we all are really looking forward to now is BlizzCon. We all feel like there's this mystery thing there. There's something that will be announced. There is going to be content. Even if they're not talking about Overwatch 2, there will be something they'll be unveiling for sure. Yeah, of course, a new hero, maybe something else. You said last week we didn't get a map yet, which is still the case. We haven't heard anything. There was this one little moment where I started getting messages of people telling me, oh my god, the login screen has a new map in the background.
And it's just the dungeon. It's just the Rialto dungeon.
Yeah, it's the starting zone of the whole Retribution
event.
It's
the most talony room that they have to put Sigma in, so.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that they kind of really we all know that he's a Talon member, but he somewhat feels, at least to me, he feels like not a core member of Talon. He feels more like a tool of Talon, if you know what I mean. Like,
oh, absolutely. But then he's so not is technically, so is Widowmaker. She's just a tool.
Yeah, but she, that's true. But she has kind of, as far as we know, it's her choice to be there. For Sombra, for instance, we know that she's sneaky, she's up to something else.
Everyone is Sombra's tool, let's be honest.
Yeah, Talon is Sombra's tool, that's it.
Yeah.
The real core of Talon is Doomfist. We know that Reaper is really heavily involved in those things. Moira, that's someone that I feel like if you give her enough motivation, she'll kind of I don't see her as loyal towards Talon, but just loyal towards what her vision is on.
Yeah, Talon is a means for her, I think.
Exactly. While Sigma, I feel like he's kind of a victim of Talon. Like, he's just a ranting crazy man that is kind of used, kind of pushed forward by them. And he's like, whatever, I'm just going to kill everybody because I feel like it. And I don't know if that is as voluntary as all of the other members combined.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at Doomfist. He's so ideal heavy.
he is all what Talon stands for. He's basically the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the poster boy.
He's the poster boy, exactly. And now the leader. But we still haven't gotten a map, so we know that there's a piece of content coming towards the end of the summer, which is, according to the calendar, still September 21st. We're nearing, we're going almost halfway through August. So in a few weeks, we might start hearing
Archives
about this.
Was the last one, wasn't it? Havana was the last map that we got.
Yeah, Havana was the last map that we got, which that's May. That has been since May that we...
And we got a new map for Archives last year too, so
mm-hmm.
that's part of the schedule.
The map before that was Paris. Before Havana was Paris. When did we get Paris?
When did did Paris come out?
Let me check. Paris map Overwatch. This could be the quiz question. These pop quizzes that I'm doing on Instagram, really, people enjoy them so much.
I know, they're great.
And they're like,
I don't think I can give you a third compliment, though, so.
People are just do more. Like, I do them every week. Chill, wait till next week. I think it's somewhere in January that we got it. Judging
and
by
we,
the...
Does that... No, because we got... Does that count as the promised map?
For BlizzCon? Yeah, I guess so. That wasn't tied into any event.
Yeah.
Why? Usually these maps have... Oh, wait. Let me check fandom. That's usually... They have a date. Paris was added to the PTR on January 31st, 2019. So let's say that it went live somewhere half of February.
Mm.
But then we got one in May, and since then it has been really quiet about any other map.
Yeah, because there wasn't a new one for Lucio Ball or anything, was there?
Nope. Not even an arena, exactly. It would be difficult to kind of try and guess what the next map is going to be, because basically they have the whole world. And
they have the entire globe.
Well, and even outside of the globe, like Lunar Colony, for instance, is not even on there. But one thing that would be cool with them just releasing Sigma is that space station that he was on, maybe.
I know, kind of, like a second space map.
Yeah. Well.
Really get that future vibe going.
Exactly. We don't need the whole outside of space thing. That was kind of, that was fun for a moment, but I don't think a lot of, it is one of, like they kind of, told us like they wanted it to be, it's just a gimmick on that map,
yeah, and
nothing more, and I think that's perfect. But something like, if they want to add a map with that same kind of gimmick, something with water that you can get through or something like that.
Ooh.
Maybe something like that. But I think you might have, I've told you last time too, like, bless you.
Thank
I think you you might be onto something that will get a new map at the end of this summer.
I hope so.
Yeah, would be cool. New maps are always fun to kind of explore, especially since with every map, they kind of add more details. I was kind of disappointed with Havana because it didn't differ that much from the event map. To be honest, it didn't differ at all.
Even Rialto, you went through it like the wrong way and then...
And there was a lot of updates, like Rialto in Retribution was the Rialto of 5 years before that. And then in the map version, you see these repair bots working on stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that kind of changed. And that's,
yeah, and there was that like final that area as well that you don't actually go to as part of the normal
map. The restaurant,
map.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that. But with Havana, it was the identical, even the weather circumstances, it wasn't even dark or light. No, it was just that exact same map.
Yeah, that was kind of pants.
Yeah, that was like Hannah puts it, pants. So it would be cool to have a really new experience and something that we can explore and kind of... I like the way that they... Paris, for instance, I remember that everybody was... so fixated on that freaking piano. I haven't seen anybody play that piano ever since, but still it had something. The pigeons that were made out of concrete that you could hit with your hammer and they would not budge. Still, that was awesome to see these pigeons sitting there, like all these small details, that atmosphere. They're so good at that atmosphere. The same with Busan last year during Gamescom. They released Busan and they're not going to Gamescom this year.
But they have released a new statue. They've unveiled the May statue for Gamescom.
Yeah, the May statue. Yeah, they did. I'm going to go to that gear store next week and take a lot of pictures. So make sure to check out Atomic
CV
on Instagram.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, I'm going to make a lot of stories and pictures. And
yeah.
I
said last year that I would come to Gamescom this year, but then Blizzard quit and I was like...
I have to be there for work. Because
you're there with...
But Montes and Kronos Interactive, yeah. And with Journey for Elysium, there will be a demo pod of a few of our games.
Ooh.
But all my colleagues are going to be there for a whole week, but I'm just there for one day. I'm going with Dr. Hoon. We're going taking the train up there and getting back because I have too much work.
Aww.
At the studio. Yeah, but it's okay. I have plenty of stuff to do.
Everyone will be gone.
Well, just a few people staying behind. And to be honest, I've done Gamescom so many times. I've seen it so many times. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to GDC again next year than doing Gamescom this year, which is going to be the case. But I'm also going to film. I told Hannah just before the podcast, so let me just share it with you guys too. Like, we're doing a new YouTube channel, me and my girlfriend Hilda. People that watch the stream know her as the one that always defeats me. She's better at the game than me.
my favorite person to gang up on D with.
Yeah, well, you have a few. You have a good few.
Yeah, I know, but Hilda's my favorite.
Yeah, okay. She'll be happy to hear that. So yeah, what we're doing is like we're going back to BlizzCon this year. We're going to do on holiday, and we're going to start filming all these things because we enjoy doing it, and people kind of seem to enjoy my. How would I describe it? My
Your
weird ass
face.
Yeah, my stupid face. I was going to say weird ass face. I was talking to someone this week and they said, like, dude, where did you get the inspiration and the energy to be making faces like that, like you do in that video? And I'm like, no, I'm trying to hold back the whole time. Like, it's I'm trying to hold. It's just, the camera goes on and I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know what it is. I think I should see a doctor about it, but it turns out, well, for these little videos.
He's like a parrot in front of a mirror. He can't help himself.
That's the best comparison. I need to remember that. That's basically it. I'm like a parrot in front of a mirror. I don't realize what's going on and start just, I could just go crazy. And we're going to use that. And I'm going to film. Hilda's not going with me to Gamescom, but I'm going to film my whole trip to Gamescom, and we're going to post it on Atomics TV and on the new channel, which is going to be Atomics Vlogs, and we're going to film our trip to Crete. We're going to film BlizzCon. We're going to film some events that we're doing later this year. It's going to be fun. But yeah, I'm going to go to that gear store and take a lot of pictures, so you guys get to see that new May statue. You guys get to see all, but there's a lot of other stuff coming. Like, they teased a lot of small stuff. I think it's going to be neat. Maybe I pick something up and do a giveaway.
Yeah, I keep seeing the word Gamescom, like, just floating through Twitter. I'm like, mm-hmm. It seems like it's going to be a really big one this year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for Blizzard, it's not that big, but for general...
other stuff.
Yeah, Gamescom is just, it's becoming, year over year, it's just getting bigger and bigger, and it's becoming that event where E3 kind of tries to change their strategy towards a more general audience and not only press and professionals. Gamescom has been doing that for many, many years, and they're good at it. The only thing about Gamescom is they never stop selling tickets.
So it just gets really packed.
I'm going Tuesday because the general audience cannot be there. so it's going to be okay. But the days after that, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's going to be hell.
Saturday. Ouch.
Yeah, it's going to be hell. I've seen pictures. I've been there during those days, but I always managed to kind of flee in towards the business section. But one year, my first year I went, I was there with colleagues from a magazine. I was helping out with a magazine, and they told me, like, dude, stand right here as those doors open. And there was like this little bridge section, and keep your camera out. And there were just like
a tidal wave.
Oh my God. A tidal wave of smelly teens rolling down.
Oh, no.
And it just, and the thing is, they kept coming and coming. And at a certain point, let's say, I didn't stand there for the whole time, but like a few hours later, we kind of had to get through it. They all get stuck in those huge ass hallways because it's not like they're small hallways. These hallways are big, but they're just full of people that are like moving at an inch a minute, like just slowly moving forward. And last year I went with Sugar Pixie and Fusion, and it was really warm that day. It was just, yeah, crazy. There was a lot of sweating going on, but we had fun.
Yeah, it's like the big cons over here. So we've got like MCM, but they've changed it to like London Comic Con to try and be cooler.
a lot of them do that.
Yeah, going on a Friday is really nice. Going on a Saturday is hell.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Weekends.
Hell.
Mm. Cons and weekends are. Well, they do this con over here in my hometown of Ghent, which is called Facts, which is okay. not that many people. It's still manageable.
Tiny.
Yeah, it's okay. Like there's a few halls, but it's not.
Is it like a general nerd con or?
It is general nerdy stuff, like not only games and stuff like that, but a lot of cosplayers. And I go every, they do it two times a year. So the next one will be in October.
Yeah, I will be going. And, the same.
Yeah. And are you going to MCM this year?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, you know how to get tickets, right?
Yes. Thank you, boss.
No worries. like, the other event is kind of, there's a lot of cosplay going on and we kind of enjoy going there and picking out the Overwatch cosplayers and kind of, hey, can we take a picture?
Yeah, I still think you guys should come over here and that we advertise that there's going to be a big presence because like MCM especially, you can go onto the official website and put up a posting to say, I am organizing a cosplay meet at this time for this thing.
Yeah, no. Like it's going to happen for sure. I just need to kind of, especially
you just need
since
to pick
we're going.
A year.
No. I have to get a budget. Since we're going to BlizzCon again, like I enjoy BlizzCon. I'm really happy and stoked that we'll be going back and we'll make a lot of great footage.
But
and
this is
going
to be like,
it's hell of expensive. Like it, me and Hilda are doing calculations and kind of trying to figure out how we're going to do it, and we'll manage, but it's costly. And for us, it's a hobby. We enjoy doing it. And it's an adventure. Like you're going to LA for a week and we're going to go to Disneyland and make a lot of content and just have a blast. But we try to kind of ignore the fact that it kind of drains our accounts and that we, we enjoy doing this. But like the day that we can live off all this stuff and kind of make our living out of it. We'll be in London for sure. It's not cheap to get to London either. It's not that far, but still it is not as cheap.
Pricey.
It is. It's just like traveling is just expensive.
It is.
Doesn't matter where you're going. And even if it's just for a few hundred miles or it's for 3,000 miles or 10,000 miles, it can be expensive.
I know. It's like £1,000 each. Mm-hmm. If I ever wanted to go to BlizzCon, it's like, okay.
Yeah. And I've done the calculations this week. So what you need to get your plane. And the planes in November are okay. Like I can get a plane ticket in the summer. You would pay like €1,000 or something. Like it depends. If you kind of do a long overlay somewhere, you kind of can have a ticket at 800 or 900, but when you go in the fall and especially towards November, it drops back to 500 to 600 euros.
See, that is so not fair. Because lay over in London last year anyway?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and
yeah, see, for me to fly from London to LA costs like 1,000, which with today's exchange rate, euros and pounds are basically the same at the moment.
Mm-hmm. But in November, check it out. In November, it's a lot cheaper than it is.
I would always do it in November and it would always cost that much. But you're going further and still going from London and it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I might just pretend I'm flying from Belgium one year.
No, but I think it should be, I don't get it why that happens because it's not like I'm using a Belgian flight.
I'll make you guys check me in. If you put a wig on, you'll pass for me. It's fine.
But so that's your flight, and then you have to pay your hotel, which is that runs in over $1,000 by itself, and a car to get there, and then you have the spendings. It's just it just gets a lot quick. But see, I see that I'm going to Crete in a few weeks, and then in November I'm going to do a holiday in LA, and we're going to go to BlizzCon. I kind of see it that way, and we're going to make awesome content. So. That's a double win. I enjoy making content.
One day it will pay for itself.
One day. Yeah, I'm working really hard at that. But yeah, it takes time. You know, content creation, it's hard work. And at the beginning, it's for peanuts. Mm. But see, as long as I'm enjoying it, it's all okay. Hannah, I think we kind of need to round up.
I know. We've
been talking a long, long time.
We're just here chatting and other people chatting. Are just like, guys, come on.
This is an Overwatch podcast. No, we were kind of Overwatch related. We're talking BlizzCon. Yeah. But there's one thing quickly before we don't have an LPP, so we can round up really quickly after that, but it's the last week of stage four. It's the last normal week of the whole season that is starting this week. We've seen some amazing upsets. Let me quickly go. I said that we wanted to do this.
Last week,
with Mel, we did some predictions on what we thought would be the results on Sunday. Let me quickly check. We kind of were... What was the first prediction that we did? We did starting with Philadelphia versus... versus. Oh my God, I can't talk anymore. Philadelphia versus the Titans, right? Mm-hmm. But the Titans kind of rolled over, bulldozered Philadelphia.
Yep.
But then Washington Justice is still undefeated and they beat my boys, the Outlaws, with 3-2, which was close.
It was close, but close is not good enough.
Yeah, we kind of predicted that it would happen. Yeah. Both me and Mal are Houston fans and we still had
I told you guys to believe just a little bit more.
Yeah, we supported, but we knew it was bound to happen, especially with the way that the Justice has been playing these last few weeks.
I know.
And
now
shock,
they have a new manager. What?
Yeah. Since today we got it, they have a new manager. Yeah. Indeed. And they're by the way, they're number one in this week's standings.
Which
can you
is
imagine?
Insane.
They came last stage. They were at the bottom. They were literally the last, and now they're the first. It's crazy.
I know.
San Francisco Shock went 4-0 versus the Dallas Fuel, which we predicted too. And didn't think it would be this number, but still we kind of predicted. And that's something none of us predicted. We all thought NYXL was going to take this, but Guangzhou's Charge.
I know.
Beat New York Excelsior with 4-0. That was crazy.
It was amazing.
It was amazing, yeah. That just shows you that anything can happen right now.
Which is where we want it. It's fun.
Exactly. That's the Overwatch League we want. So this week we have week four. Next week we'll have the homestand weekend.
Yeah.
Or the homestand matches, which are going to happen in... where's the homestand next week?
Is it
in
LA?
In Los Angeles? Yeah, I think it is in Los Angeles.
Because I know they've got their rivalry weekend. I'm like, is that the same thing?
Yeah. It is the rivalry weekend, it is.
Yeah.
But this week is the last week of normal.
Hunter are going to be there. What? As part of LA Valiant's event. Bizarre.
Ooh.
I blame Mika for that.
Okay. We've taken note.
Yeah, because she used to work with Achievement Hunter and now she works in the Overwatch League. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. but this week we'll have a few weird days, like tonight there's only three games, tomorrow's only three games, and then during the weekend we'll have the four games. I don't know how much time we have. Let's do one quick prediction for one day, Hannah. Let's do one day. Tonight. We have Boston versus the Mayhem. I think that's an important one.
I want Mayhem to win, but I think it's going to be Boston next.
I think Mayhem might take it.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Oh, you've put me to shame.
No. It's not because I want to do something different, but I feel like Mayhem is on that same spree as Justice is.
They are. Like, the last loss was very close. It was very nearly a win.
Yeah, 2-1. I was like, that's a rare number to see. So I think I wouldn't. And I think Boston is kind of suffering right now. So, Dallas Fuel versus Guangzhou Spark.
Based on how Dallas played the other day, I don't think they're going to do very well.
Nope, Spark is taking this. Yep. And Seoul Dynasty versus the Dragons.
Ooh, I think the Dragons are going to take it.
Yeah, I mean, same here. Okay, so you're saying Boston, I say Florida, and then on the other two, we're kind of agreeing that Spark and Dragons are taking...
Yeah, I feel really bad for Mayhem.
No.
Take backs, but no.
You can still take back if you want. Like, this is not a... whatever you want.
I'm going to go all in with my belief for the team.
Okay.
Mayhem are going to do it.
Okay, we're both going for Mayhem winning, Spark winning.
Boston where the sun doesn't shine. Yep.
All right. We'll know tomorrow. When I wake up, I'll know that we won or not. We can discuss it on Discord.
Yeah.
All right, but that was it for today, Hannah. We went for a long one.
We did.
And I need to round up. because the counter, we can only record for 90 minutes and then the system
just
goes,
we've got like 3.5 minutes to round up.
Yeah, I can do this. That's it for today. Hannah, tell us where people can find you.
Really Instagram quickly. And Twitter, Hannah McManus.
Bam! And you can find me on Atomics TV with two eyes on all those same platforms. Make sure to check it out. A lot of fun content coming in. If you have any questions or topics you want us to address, like I said before, just send us a message or mail us info@omnicpost.com. Make sure to check us out on Instagram, Omnic Weekly, Omnic Post, and Omnic Esports. Those are the places you get all your Overwatch news. And join me on Twitch. Atomics TV on Twitch with two eyes again. I stream a few days a week. I'm going to do a stream Saturday. Well, I'll be trying the new role queue system. So come check that out. Thank you all for listening and sticking around until the end. You guys rock. Help us out by giving us a nice review on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you are listening. And make sure to subscribe. We hope to see you all again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.